Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about digital knowledge management and why it matters for your business or for your firm. And today on the show, it is my pleasure to have as our guest, Dwayne Forrester. Dwayne is the Vice President of Industry Insights for Yext. And Dwayne brings over 20 years of experience to the show with a history that includes running SEO at MSN, launching the Bing Webmasters Tool Program, and being an author with McGraw-Hill. Welcome to the show, Dwayne.
Thank you very much. I am happy to be here today.
And thank you for being here. We are very happy to have you. So before we dive into what digital knowledge management is all about, why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself? I mean, it sounds like you've done a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up at Yext.
Sure. I'll give you guys the 30,000 foot view at Mach 1. My marketing career started working marketing for Caesars Palace Casinos. I moved on from there to digital marketing in the online gambling space. And just so everybody understands, this is back when I used to live in Canada. It's all legal there. So it's all kind of fun and games. From there, I got hired by Microsoft to run the SEO program at MSN. Transitioned over to Bing, the search engine, was embedded with the engineers there. It was really exciting as an SEO to be able to go talk about SEO with a search engineer. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, like getting answers to questions, it's kind of mind-blowing. And then, you know, realizing that you have an NDA and you're not allowed to share anything is kind of mind-blowing.
But
don't fear, we'll share some stuff so that, you know, folks have a good understanding. And then from there, I went into Bing Webmaster Tools, ran that. And then I spent some time. I took over a friend's digital marketing agency in California, a company called Bruce Clay. And it's one of the oldest digital marketing agencies online. I've known Bruce for a lot of years. And as luck would have it, I had several friends working at Yext at the time. And I ended up on a call with the CEO. We talked through some opportunity ideas. I made the transition to working for Yext. And it's been a rocket ship ride from just prior to our IPO 2 years ago right up till today. It's exciting times.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a really exciting career path. So awesome. Tell us a little bit about what your role is at Yext today. What does it mean to be the VP of Insights?
Yeah, so this role it's largely an extension of the type of work I was doing when I worked at the search engine. I just do it for this company. And effectively what it is focusing on coming changes in technology, how that impacts consumer behavior, and what a business needs to do to stay relevant to the consumer today. So the kind of environment that we're talking about with the audiences listening today and possibly reading on a blog post, you know, we're really going to zone in on the people that actually need help in legal services. What is their mindset? Who are they? What does that landscape of the consumer look like? And where does this kind of fit into the overall thinking in their world, in their life? On a day-to-day basis, hopefully not a lot of need. However, you could have people that are spinning up a new entrepreneurial activity and they need guidance. So that's a good thing. But how they think about solving that problem they have, I need someone to give me legal advice to set up this contract for my business. How does that actually net them taking an action to go into a business? And what the business needs to do to get in front of those people. So that's largely my job, is kind of discovering what all that looks like and then translating it to an audience so that they can take an action on it and then it's easy to understand.
Sounds like a really cool job.
I think it's the coolest.
So let's dive into the topic of digital knowledge management. Most law firms have actually no clue what that means. They probably know what knowledge management is, but my understanding is that digital knowledge management is something completely different. So talk to us a little bit about digital knowledge management and why it matters for a law firm or for a company doing business in the legal industry.
So I'm not entirely sure that we can divorce digital knowledge management, which I'll refer to as DKM, from traditional knowledge management. A lot of the actual processes and the thinking that you would do is similar between them. how you use the outputs of them may be vastly different, however. So in the world of digital, when we think about digital knowledge management, what we're looking at doing here is identifying all of the digital assets that your business has or has created and understanding the relationships between those two things, how to exploit relationships between them, how to create relationships between them, more importantly, how to deploy all of those assets effectively. And when we kind of touch this, digital knowledge management, it's best to think of it as an overarching umbrella. That's the way to look at this. So within your digital knowledge management workspace, you're going to have your traditional stuff like SEO and pay-per-click advertising, social media management, and so on. And the reality is that beyond that, in the actual advertising space, when we're looking at all of the facets that have to be taken into consideration. So if you're a local business, you know, you've got name, address, phone number, hours of operation, and then you start getting into some things that matter a great deal to consumers, but businesses tend to overlook, which is my hours of operation as they change around a holiday, or there's a specific promotion I have going on, or there's an offer I would like to extend to you if you're this type of client, and managing all that information. Part of that is the effort around digital knowledge management, that actual work that you're going to do. And this is what it looks like. You're going to take a look from the top down in your organization. You're going to list out every employee you have. And at some point, there's going to be a cut line where you're not worried about the employee because one of your interns doesn't necessarily make the cut as an expert in their field. The partners in your firm, however, or the founding members of the firm, they would definitely make the cut as experts in their field. And so you're looking for their biographical information, where they went to school. You want to know what their win-loss record looks like. You want to know everything you can about that individual because that individual becomes a digital asset. It's also now where we get to start talking about technical work in the world of SEO, the structured data markup stuff. And this is very deep stuff. It's very technical. I'm going to leave the audience with the suggestion to check out the schema.org website, schema.org, if they're unfamiliar with this and they want to learn more. It's a great starting point to learn about this. And this is very important for success today and tomorrow in online rankings, whether it's mobile, whether it's voice, whether it's desktop. You've got to have your content marked up. That is a priority for a business. So now what you're doing, though, is those people that you've identified, the leadership in your organization, who you have said are rock stars, you're going to create a markup around that individual, the content on your website about that individual, their name, their school, their background, their bio, all of that. And you're going to mark them up as a person in the structured data language. That then gives trusted content to the search engine. And the search engine will look at that and say, ah, okay, this person's an expert in these areas. That's great. We need to know that. That is a much safer path, a much clearer path, and something you can take an active work stream on versus we're just going to put it on the website, hope that search engine will crawl it, and then index it, and then bring it up in a search result. Because what tends to happen when you're actually talking about a localized business is all of that filtering happens at the search engine, happens as it normally would. But there's this critical, important overlay that happens, which is proximity. So you not only have to be an expert, you have to show that you are an authority on a topic, and you have to be seen as trustworthy. That's the EAT approach to optimization that the search engines recommend. You also have to be relevant to that person in the moment. And the engines know all this because they have apps on the phone. They have the phones themselves. Google has Android. They know where the person is. So they know proximity to any given business. If you meet all the requirements to be trustworthy and you are the expert that they want and you are a noted authority by other people on that topic and you've got proximity to that individual, you now suddenly start showing up higher in those rankings. So it's all very interconnected. But if you want a quick hack, if you want something that all things being equal, this will put you over the line, reviews and review management. And I'm not even talking about having 5-star reviews. I'm talking about being actively engaged. You do have to have good reviews, right? I mean, if you're a consistent 2-star performer, you're not going to get pulled forward. That is not the experience a search engine is looking to put in front of searchers. But if you're a solid 4 to 4.5 and you are consistently engaging with people, the search engines see that. And they also see then if they put a client of theirs, a searcher, in front of you, they feel good that that searcher is going to have good engagement with you, which reflects positively on the search engine. So they're very aware of whether people are managing reviews or not. And that's an area that businesses can exploit right now by diving in there. And there's a book out there called Hug Your Haters. And it is a great book to read if you want to understand the reality of how to properly manage a review program and how to actually, you know, thrive in that scenario where people are complaining about something. It's often not just about the review they write. It's about your response to it. And you can get caught repeatedly doing a good thing by responding to those reviews. And that accrues a benefit to your business.
Interesting. So let's go back, because you covered a lot of ground there.
Oh, yeah.
I want to try to break it down into some nuggets that our audience can really get some great value out of. So let's start with the schema.
Yes.
So my understanding was, and clearly I'm wrong or just have a limited understanding, but my understanding was that schema tags were really more for the name, address, and phone number of your business or your law firm. If I'm understanding correctly, you can also use schema tags in the bios or resumes of individuals to basically mark up their experience or knowledge or areas of expertise. Is that correct?
If there is a piece of schema that is available and it is directly applicable to your business or something related to your business, then you should be deploying that piece of schema markup. And people is a common one. So there is no reason why a law firm can't be marking up its partners as people. I mean, all schema is doing is creating an area of trust where you've proven to the search engine that you own the content and you're maintaining the content because you had to go in and add this tag. That's effectively what it's doing. And it allows the search engine then, instead of looking for other signals to tell the search engine that that page and that content is accurate and trustworthy, it allows them to essentially say, okay, shrug our shoulders, we're just going to trust that and move forward. That's what schema does. And then it also allows them to identify an entity, so partner at a law firm, and then create relationships between those entities. Partner at a law firm, law school they went to. Partner at a law firm, law school they went to. Oh, look, two competing schools. But it turns out of, say, 10 partners in a mid-size or a large law firm, there's an even split between those two schools. Well, now the search engine is starting to understand that because it knows those are the top two legal schools in America, this law firm only pulls from the top schools in America. That's who this law firm is. So by marking up your people, you allow that path to start to exist and they will create those entities. There's also an untold number of ways that this can benefit you. Most of them we don't even know about yet. I was actually part of the team that launched Schema when it first came out, when I worked at the search engine. And like even just this week, I read something around Google is now going to be able to use content that's marked up to create PDFs on the fly for you. And we see instances in voice search where even if you're mobile friendly, even if you're optimized for search, even if you're position zero, that answer box at the top of a search result, if you don't have schema deployed, they will not speak you out loud in Google Assistant. So the only way to be spoken out loud in Google Assistant in those instances is to have schema deployed. So obviously, you know, my direction to people is get schema out there and go through the library. The library is massive for schema.org. And anything that is directly related to your business, you deploy that piece of markup. You deploy that tag on your website. No question about it.
All right. Let's move on to the next thing you mentioned. You mentioned voice search. Voice search has exploded on the scene. It was a hot topic last year. It's an even hotter topic this year. What do our listeners need to know about voice search, and how should listeners or readers think of voice search?
Well, I'm going to give listeners a takeaway on this one. So one of the things, and we can repeat this as we wrap up, but one of the things they need to do is actually get themselves a smart speaker. I personally recommend one from Amazon and one from Google. They're so cheap, like $20 each. It's well worth it, so you can see the environment or hear the environment in each one uniquely, and then look up themselves, ask questions about their own business, find out what's going on in that regard. Yext signed a partnership in August with Amazon, and I want to be clear about this. It is a non-exclusive partnership, meaning other companies can also participate in this. Yext just happens to have been the first one, and to my knowledge, we're still the only one, although I'm sure others will want to get in this. The bottom line is this. If you ask an Amazon Alexa device right now for information about a local business, it's pulling from the Yext database. Name, address, phone number, hours of operation, all of that. It comes from us. If it's not in that database, Amazon's not talking about it. So obviously, Amazon wants to backfill that because there may be businesses that we're unaware of, and they want to make sure that that's included as an answer for their business. What's important is not my company's partnership. What's important is that the law firm is testing this to see how they show up. Now, here's why you don't need to panic. There was a study out last week that talked about how people are using their smart speakers in 2018. And luckily for most local businesses, 10 out of 10, so in the 10th spot with the lowest response rate, was people using their smart speakers to find local businesses. So you've got some runway ahead of you to solve for this at the business level. Here's where the fire is smoldering on that. Last year, it wasn't even on the list. Now, all of a sudden, it's like 8 or 9% of what people are doing. So we can see that it is going to grow very quickly where people are using their devices, and more importantly, they're using the assistants more. And those are assistants that are embedded in the apps on our mobile devices. So when you think about voice and you think about something like Google Assistant or Alexa, you need to think beyond the physical speaker. You need to also think about the reality of Alexa is on my phone, and if I call her forward on my phone, I can interact with her just like she's on the smart speaker.
I love it. That's really great information. All right, let's talk about the next thing you mentioned, or at least alluded to it, which is, you know, you talked a lot about being able to be found by location, or the importance of, in a sense, local SEO for local businesses. So I want you to talk a little bit about that, but I also want you to answer this question, because I get this question all the time. So a lot of the law firms that are listening to this, or a lot of our law firm clients, are big multinational law firms that have Yep. office locations all over the country, and many of them all over the world. So why is local SEO still important to these types of firms or companies that, you know, are of that size?
Because they want the money, and the money is in the wallet of the consumer. And the entire world revolves around that consumer. That's it. So wherever that consumer is local, you better have a business located near them. Now, that's obviously not possible in terms of every community in America or in any country globally. But you can generally reach a lot of areas, and larger companies have that ability to do that. So the reality with this is, as consumers continue to choose mobile over any other mode of accessing information and information retrieval, local is inherently tied to it because the mobile device is in their hand, which means it's wherever the consumer is. So if I'm sitting at home and I am starting my fictitious new business that I mentioned earlier, and I decide that I want to have sales contracts, I have a product I want to sell, but I want to have a contract attached to it. So when I sell it, there are protections on it. Fine and dandy. I can do that from my living room. I can hop on a phone. You know, I can talk to somebody. Chances are I'll have to go meet them in person. But I'm going to start that query on my desktop or on my phone looking for that information. The first thing that's going to happen on my phone or even on my desktop is a map pack is going to show up, because the idea generally that you would like legal assistance is still, oh, you're going to go and find legal assistance nearby. That's what you're going to do. I want a lawyer near me. And that's what most of search still skews to today. And that's because consumers still skew in that direction themselves. They respond directly to what is local to me. And that's what drives all of this. So consumers are really on their devices, and that is why mobile and local are so important. The baseline for SEO that is table stakes today. If you don't have that stuff done, we won't be talking to you in 5 years. That's the reality. Someone's going to eat your lunch.
All right, let's move on to reviews, which you talked about. Now, I know a lot of firms we talk to, they hate reviews. They don't want to do them. They don't want to get negative reviews. They don't want to deal with it. They're above reviews, or so they think. You talked about reviews and the importance of reviews. Talk to us a little bit more about them, but you also mentioned engaging with your reviewers. What exactly does that mean? What does that look like?
Okay, so first thing that's really important to note is that we have already reached a tipping point where millennials are the largest generation that's still in the workforce, and Gen Z is now starting their move in the workforce. So we have two generations of people, and these people are the clients of law firms. These are the people signing contracts to buy a home, looking for mortgage information. These are the people that are getting into car accidents and looking for remuneration from that. These are the people that have a problem with a healthcare provider and need somebody in their corner. These are the people that literally are driving our economy today. So whatever their desired mode of communication is what a business needs to focus on. Those generations specifically, millennials and Gen Z, and a little of my generation, Gen X, we want that online connectivity. And more importantly, when a millennial or Gen Z cohort look for feedback or information about a business, they look at reviews first. They don't ask family. They don't ask friends. Family and friends are skewed, and they inherently know that. They want to hear from anonymous strangers. If 500 anonymous strangers rate your firm a 4.7 out of 5, those consumers feel good. They feel like they're rolling the dice anyhow, but the odds are in their favor that they're going to have a good outcome or a good experience with you. If, however, those reviews show you as a 2.1, they'll just avoid you. They'll just look for somebody that has a higher rating. When it comes right down to it, Google and Bing, all of the engines, Facebook, everyone, they know consumers respond to reviews. So if your approach is, I'm not going to do reviews, you will get left behind. No question about it. Because that is a signal that matters to the search engine, and it factors into rankings today. So if you're not participating, you get a big fat zero on that. That means your competitor looks better than you. So you don't really have that option. Now, in terms of not liking negative reviews, yep, I feel you. Nobody likes that. But if you're getting negative reviews, in some cases, you'll deserve it. In some cases, you will not. You know, you can enter into any scenario with a consumer, and you can be very clear with the consumer, you know, we're going to push this forward. We're going to move the agenda forward. We may win this case. We may lose this case. We'll see what happens. It is up to a jury. It is up to a judge. It is up to an adjudicator. I will represent you. That's how this works. You will pay me for that. You're paying for my expertise. And in the end, you lose. And then you immediately get a review because the person says, well, you lost, you took my money, you suck, you're terrible, you're unprofessional, and they just fill in the blanks with whatever they feel like saying because they're angry. You're the target of that. The reality is you have the ability to respond to that and set the record straight for other consumers who see that review. And if you choose not to do that and you just say, oh, they're just disgruntled, that has a knock-on negative effect to you. And it's a missed opportunity for you to simply respond saying, you knew that losing was an option in this. You agreed to that. Unfortunately, we didn't lose. We're not out of options. We'd like to continue this. You can get as specific or non-specific as possible. Canned responses can sometimes be useful if they are germane to that actual conversation. But you're being seen to respond is a powerful message to a consumer reading that negative review because it means you're willing to engage in a conversation. And that's what consumers expect. They expect transparency and engagement. And if you're not giving them those things, they go somewhere else.
What about a positive review? Is it beneficial to say
absolutely.
Thank you?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no downside to saying thank you for a positive review. Now, here's the reality, okay? You don't need to chase every single review, and whether it's positive or negative, and dive on that grenade like it's changing your life today. Okay. But you have to have an active program. You have to be managing it. You know, I would be going in and saying to myself, how many reviews can my team reasonably touch in a week? And if that number is 10 out of 15 reviews you get, awesome. If that number is 5 out of 15 reviews you get, do it. And, you know, mix it up. Like, don't just say, well, we're only going to take the positive ones and respond to them. We're going to ignore the negative ones. The search engines understand sentiment. They can understand grammar and the meaning of different things. So if you think responding in and of itself is enough, no, you actually have to respond in kind. And they know the difference between responding only to positive or only to negative and what that looks like. That looks like an imbalance.
Wow, Dwayne, it's really been fabulous and a lot of very, very great information. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I'd love to get you back on the show in the future and continue this conversation, because it's really been, at least for me, and I thought I knew a lot, it's been very educational, and I'm sure it's the same for our listeners. Before we let you go, though, if you were going to provide a word of advice for our audience and an actionable takeaway, what would you say to them?
Number one, buy yourself a smart speaker, start playing around with it, and learn how you appear and how your competitors appear when they're spoken out loud. Do not worry about the old wives' tale that these things are recording everything and listening. That is not the truth. We can get into that in another podcast, but if you will take my word for it, that would be great. That's not the way these things operate. And the number two thing I'm going to tell people is get your technical stack in order. So we're talking about being mobile friendly, page load speeds. We're talking about structured data, actually having a review management program so that your staff and yourselves, you know what to do and how to do it. Put the time and effort into that. That pays dividends for you in the long run.
Awesome. Well, we didn't get into structured data, but we'll bring you back to talk about that, because I know how important it is today, and I'd love to hear more about that. So anyway, we will put all of Dwayne's information on the show notes. So if you want to get in touch with Dwayne or follow him on his social accounts, you'll be able to do so on the show notes. For those of you that enjoyed this episode and want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there, and you can also check out some of our great past episodes. With that being said, Dwayne, thank you again for being on the show. It was great having you. And to all our listeners, have a great day.